Our text for meditation this morning comes from our gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel, before he was conceived in the womb. This is our text. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Christian lives in the world, but is not of the world. For most cultures, today is New Year's Day. But the Christian church had their New Year's 5 weeks ago. It was the first Sunday in Advent. By now, most of the world is ready to move on past Christmas. Decorations are coming down, and the store shelves are being stocked with Valentine's candy. But not the Christian church. The Christian church remembers these days by remembering each of the 12 days of Christmas. Now, the world remembers the 12 days as well. They think of leaping, Lords a leaping and maids a milking and a partridge in a pear tree. But the Christian church remembers these 12 days by commemorating blood that has been shed. The first day of Christmas is Christmas Day. That day, a Savior was born. The second day of Christmas is the Feast of St. Stephen. When we remember the church's first martyr, he was stoned to death for his confession of Christ. The third day of Christmas, we commemorate the Feast of St. John the Evangelist. With the exception of Judas, St. John is the only one of the original 12 apostles who did not die a martyr's death for confessing the name of Jesus. The fourth day of Christmas, we talked about briefly down in Bible study, the Feast of the Holy Innocents. We commemorate the lives of those little martyrs who died at the command of King Herod. Herod wanted the Christ child dead, so he commanded that all boys aged 2 and under in and around Bethlehem be put to death. But God spared Jesus. Jesus lived so he could die another day. Well, today is the 8th day of Christmas. Today, the church commemorates the circumcision and name of Jesus. I don't know the last time you've heard a sermon on circumcision, but today is that day. Today's world gives no thought to circumcision. It's not that big of a deal for mom and dad to make. It's sort of a personal choice whether their newborn son is circumcised or not. But for Jesus, it was a big deal. You see, if Jesus would not have been circumcised, he could not have been your Savior. The Hebrew word for circumcision means cut off. God originally established circumcision through Abraham. God said to Abraham, "This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your offspring after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised." The cutting of the skin, it marked the descendants of Abraham as ones chosen by God. It marked them as God's very own nation. It marked them of heirs of the promise that God had made, the promise that he would send a Messiah. When Jesus was only 8 days old, his mother and adoptive father took him to the temple so he would keep the law that God had set forth in circumcision. At 8 days old, Jesus begins his work of fulfilling God's law. At 8 days old, Jesus sheds his blood for the first time for you. Why did he need to do this? Because you and I need a Savior. This may not come as a surprise to you, but you need a Savior because you have a sinful heart. You need a Savior because although you think your heart is in the right place, and maybe you've given your heart to Jesus, and deep down in your heart you know you're a really good person, Jesus has something contrary to that to say. Jesus says, "For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander." You see, the human heart is by nature stubborn and rebellious against God. Even though you know what pleases God by nature, your sinful nature, you turn your back on him and rebel against him. You don't want that God. You want self as God. You turn your back and you do not love him with all your heart, soul, and mind. And you do not love your neighbor as yourself. So according to God's law, what do you deserve? You deserve the wages of your sinful and misguided thoughts and actions. You deserve to suffer God's righteous wrath and his eternal damnation. You deserve to be condemned for all eternity. So what should you do? What should I do? We do as God commanded the nation of Israel when they were languishing in the wilderness of Egypt. The Lord said, "Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart, and no longer be stubborn." In a nutshell, repent. At Jesus' circumcision, the Son of God sheds his blood for you. You see, an uncircumcised heart will not have God. A circumcised heart, however, is a heart responding to faith in God, responding to God's grace that he freely bestows upon you. So humble your heart and repent. Even at 8 days old, Jesus was not too young to shed his blood for you. He was already doing something that no other human being could do, and that was fulfilling every letter of God's law. He was keeping it perfectly. As true God, Jesus was above the law. But as true man, he was placed under the law, required to keep every jot and tittle. Jesus bleeds from the cutting, and that blood shows Jesus' humanity. His blood also reminds us of the much more bloodshed that would come some 30 years later. In the Old Testament, the physical act of that cutting of skin, the cutting of the skin was not important. What was important is the promise that God tied to the cutting of the skin. God attached a promise to that. The promise that by the simple act of faith in that cutting, that person was an heir of Abraham, a child of God, God's chosen nation. They were one of God's family of believers. It was a precious, unmerited free gift of God. By Jesus' birth, Jesus was bound under that very same law. He didn't come to abolish the law, but fulfill the law. His name tells you exactly why he came to earth. The angel told Jesus to name him, or told Joseph to name the child Jesus, for he will save people from their sins. And on the eighth day, Jesus began his work. He began his work, and throughout his life, he lived up to his name by living and dying and rising again for all mankind. Yes, that little bit of blood shed on the eighth day was only the beginning. The day would come when Jesus would hand himself over to death at Calvary's cross for your sake. God made Jesus to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him you might become the righteousness of God. By the shedding of that little bit of innocent blood, Jesus began his work. And by the shedding of his precious blood and his innocent suffering and death on Calvary's cross, Jesus atoned for sins of all mankind. In the Old Testament, by means of circumcision, God included those people in his covenant promise. Even at 8 days old, even though that child had no decision to be made, they were included in the promise. But this cutting of the flesh is more than an Old Testament thing. It points forward to a New Testament circumcision, not a circumcision of the flesh, but a circumcision of the heart. It's a true circumcision that comes by the power of the Holy Spirit in the waters of holy baptism. In our epistle text, we heard St. Paul writing, For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring according to the promise. Just like that Old Testament covenant, the Old Testament promise, the physical act of washing with water at the font, that water isn't anything but ordinary tap water. But what is important in the washing is God's word added to the water, God making the promise to you that in baptism, you are washed from your sins. You are freed from the devil and freed from the grave. Jesus promises that he will rescue from sin, death, and the devil. And he promises you eternal salvation for all who believe in that washing of the water that Jesus instituted. In the water, he forgives you all of your stubbornness of your heart, your rebellious attitude toward God. He forgives you for not loving your neighbor as yourself. He forgives you for making yourself out to be God. It's kind of interesting that when God finished his creation, his original creation, on the sixth day, he rested on the seventh. The eighth day represented the beginning of that creation. His work, all done perfectly, it was good. He created it for mankind. Well, Jesus, on the eighth day following his birth, he began his work of a new creation by keeping the law in circumcision. And then, years later, Jesus finished that work, began on the eighth day. He finished that work on the sixth day of Good Friday. And he rested in the tomb on the seventh day. But on the eighth day, it was a new creation. Christ rose from the grave, rose from the tomb, proving that God accepted his sacrifice for your sin, making you a new creation in Christ. Scripture tells us by means of baptism, you are in Christ. You are a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All of this is from God, who through Christ reconciled himself to us. This new creation is nothing you deserve. It's nothing you can work for or or earn on your own. It's a precious, unmerited gift of God. It's given by His grace to you. And this precious gift cannot be purchased with gold or silver, but has already been paid for by Jesus' precious blood and His innocent suffering and death. You see, it all goes back to baptism. In baptism, God circumcises away the evil flesh, the deadly flesh of sin, which you inherited from your old Uncle Adam. And in baptism, God marks you with His name, name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it's the fulfillment of circumcision of the Old Testament, and it also is the fulfillment of the Aaronic blessing that we heard in our Old Testament lesson this morning, that we're reminded of every week at the close of our divine worship. It's God's blessing for God's people from today on to eternity. So today is the first day of the new year according to our world calendar. But in the church, we're reminded of the new creation in Christ Jesus. While the world sings about the various gifts of the 12 days of Christmas, we don't point our eyes toward the partridge in a pear tree, but we look to the tree of the cross, where the one who came to bleed and die for the forgiveness of sins came to work our salvation and earn eternal life for each one of us. Amen.